Just a quick hakdama. Obviously, this was supposed to be a little while ago. Mitchila, I didn't Rosenzweig asked me if I was aware that people had already spoken about the topic. And I wasn't here for Rav Ari Federgren's Chabura, so I had bronchitis that week. But so I didn't realize what he was talking about. If I was actually here for when other people did it, so then I had to listen all over again when I realized like 3 days before last time. But I got a siman min shemayim. I got two siman min shemayim.
The snow.
The snow was one of them. Yeah. The second siman min shemayim, which was earlier than the snow, was that the week that this was originally called for, a guy came over to me in the base on like Sunday or Monday, and he said, "What do? I have a sefer, and I found my sefer at another part of the base medrash, and I took it, and I put it by my malkum, and I wrote my name in it, because I didn't want to lose it again. And then I found my sefer, my real sefer, somewhere else. So what do I do?" So I said, "I don't know, it sounds like it's a suffix azela." He said, "Yeah, but I was kind of it. And not so push it, but whatever." Anyway, so I thought there was a clear-cut simbid ben shemayim that I definitely should definitely be giving on this topic. And then the snow came, so I got like mixed messages about exactly what to do. So I didn't know what. I think Ms. Tama should still go ahead with it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Especially our chalap is here now.
Oh, okay.
You can go over,
What? But and mitzad sheni, it was very reminiscent of a yarma that we learned last year in Chelek. The yarma has a beautiful idea in zarma lecha zemer b'chol yom. And he says the pshat in that line in Chelek, it's around daf tzadites. The yarma says that zarma lecha zemer b'chol yom means that you should sing Torah should be to you like a song. That for songs, people for some reason have no problem listening to the same song and singing it over and over and over again, and they never get sick of it. It's because they really, really like it. So Kol Shekein Torah that we've heard Chabur on it already, and I was set to give it 2 weeks ago, and then you have to unlearn it and then relearn it in order not to drive yourself crazy. So Zarma Lecha Zemer B'Chol Yom. So I thought that was another smach to give Chabur Afal Pikein. Okay, so I guess the place to start, just to go through a basic background for just exactly how does Shina kind of work. In terms of how Shina kind of works, just before even touching anybody, I think Mistama there would probably be two mahalchim. The first mahalch would be that Pashut, as we've spoken about in the past, is Panu Chadashus Balakan. And that this isn't the item that you stole. And Mamel, if this isn't the item that you stole, so then you're kind of, somehow. The second mahalach that we find for Shina kind of perhaps, is that Shina kind of might be some form of a demonstration of bilis, which Rabbi Pack and I have spoken about. And there might be a lot of issues with that. But definitely one possibility is that it's some form of demonstration of bilis. And we'll get through exactly what that means. But Papashtus, that by being Mishana the Chayfetz, what that means is that when you're Mishana the Chayfetz, that's a demonstration of bilis. That's some form of demonstration of bilis. And of course, the basic nafkamina is, of course, is how exactly the Shini has to come out, has to come about. Can it happen in Mela? Do you need the Gazan's active participation? How much of the Gazan's active participation do you need in order to bring about the Shinoi? So what are the mechanics of these two tzedadim? How they work exactly? So, mitzad echad, if you learn that panu chadashus balakan is the way that shina kana works, so I think there would bepashas be roughly three mahalchim of how to understand how that works. The first, just very, very balabatish, is that Reuven steals an item in Nisan, and he changes it, or it changes, a couple months later in Sivan. So, where's the kinin? How exactly did the kinin happen? So, we say, well, the chiv hashav has been neutralized. Now there's no longer chiv to return the chavtza. But l'maisa, how was he kind of the chavtza? So one possibility is that just pashut, it's sitting in his living room, and if it's sitting in his chatzar, so he's kind of bedark in the chatzar. There are obvious problems with this kinyan gzela, as we spoke about before. But that's one possibility, is that it works b'toros kinyan chatzar. That's a yutainib, which means it definitely wasn't yours, or not to the same extent earlier. And yesh lachra, how that would work out. The second possibility of how this would work is that when the Torah says, v'heish v'zgazel asher gazal, So if you neutralize the key of Hashava, so how do you attain ownership over it? So the second possibility is that there's a din. The Torah tells you it's almost like an ukmer rachmana b'shusay, but lahakel almost. We normally say it lahachmer. Certainly binyan pesach, kinyan gzela, normal kinyan gzela. So there's a din. The din is that when an item is changed, it's not quite the same chafza that you stole, that one stole. So then that item that's changed, now the Torah says this is din. If the heishav is a gzela, sure gzela falls off, so the Torah makes it yours. The third, there are words like this in the Achronim. That's not so crazy. The third mahalach that's been delineated in a few chaburas already is that if you neutralize the chiyav hashava, so how does it become yours? Where's the kinyan? How do you attain ownership over that? So the way that you attain ownership is through the original ma'aser gezeila. Now, kiyadua, that's where Rav Elchanan delineates in Kavod Shiurim in the very beginning. Around Yadalit or so, Rav Chaim presents that idea. Rav Chaim assumes it also. Rav Chaim is kamat befeirish that way. In Gezela Tess, over there, Rav Chaim is kamat befeirish. Now, the obvious problem is just in terms of the mechanics of how exactly that works. You do a Maisa Kinyan. Can I just catch you in a second? Okay. How does it work that you do a Maisa Kinyan in Nisan and all of a sudden it changes in Sivan and it becomes yours through the Maisa Kinyan that you did 2 months earlier? So the obvious problem with that is that what does it mean? If I tell you to be kind of my pen, so pick it up today, do a Maisa Kbat today, and I want you to be kind of it in 3 months. So typically that doesn't work. Obviously that doesn't work. We say call Sakinyano. So what does that mean in this case? And that's not, I did ask the question, but Baruch Hashem Rav Chanan also asked the Kasha. And what that means is that in order for this Maisa Kinyan to work, it means that the Chalais Kinyan can't be happening in 3 months, because it doesn't make sense to do the Maisa Kinyan 3 months earlier than when the Chalais Kinyan happens. So what Rav Chanan explains is that clearly what's happening here is that there's a Chalais Kinyan at the moment that the Gazlan is Moitzi Mirshus Bailim. And once there's a Chalais Kinyan, so now there's just what we call this impediment called the Chiyav Hashava. Now, that itself, at least to me, seemed the mitchil a little bit strange. How does that work exactly? What does that mean that there's a continuous chiyav hashava for the subsequent months until a shina has occurred? What exactly does that mean? And I'll explain to you what I mean. That normally chiyav hashava is a manifestation of bialis. I think it was Jared who spoke about the Tosfos over there, where chiyav hashava is a manifestation of bialis. The same way that when I own something, the ownership is manifest in a number of different ways, which was what Mordechai spoke about, that ownership can mean that when the chefta that I own yields peiros, so I own those peiros, those go to me. The same thing holds true that if my chefta damages somebody, so I'm responsible for that damage. And that's a manifestation of bialis. Another manifestation of bialis is that if I lose this chefta, so this chefta has a bond to me, and I own it, and a manifestation of that ownership is that whoever finds it has a chiv to return it to me. So the same way that there's multiple manifestations of bialis, so chiv hashava b'taras gezeila is also a manifestation of bialis, which means that after you did your chalais kinyan, the original bialim, the bialim shanim, still own it. Because if there's a chiyav hashava, if there's an impediment, what we say, it's not just an impediment, it's that there's somebody who still owns it. And they still own it, which means that you did a kinyan on something that's owned by somebody else. Now, it's not so pashut to say it like that. I don't think you have to say it like that. Chiyav hashava itself, it could be, I was speaking with one of them with the Amudiyah Yeshiva, and it doesn't have to be quite that way. It could be like ribbis. Ribbis is that there's a chiyav hashava, you have a responsibility to give it back to somebody, and that doesn't necessarily mean that's a manifestation of bialis. I don't know that you have to say it that way, but it's not clear. But so then, how does this work exactly? So that's where Rav Rosenzweig's understanding of the senior junior partner relationship seems to fit in very nicely. Is that the idea is that you can't say that you did a Maisa Kinyan and that's your Maisa Kinyan and the original Bailam are totally removed, because that's not true. There's a Chiyav Hashava, and Chiyav Hashava is a manifestation of Bailas. So what it means is that there's a junior-senior partner relationship. The Gazlan is a junior partner. The senior partner is way back home waiting for you to hopefully return his Chafzah to him. And in Mimela, once the item is changed, so you neutralize the Chiyav Hashava. Neutralizing the Chiyav Hashava severs the bond that there is between this Chafzah and the original owner. And Mimela, it's yours. through the original Maisa Kinyan that you did. The only problem that I thought I was going to try to think about it over the past 2 weeks, and the problem, at least that I can't really wrap my head around, is the idea that what does that mean? Meaning, there's a junior partner and there's a senior partner. So the senior partner picks up and he leaves the office. So that office becomes mine. There has to be an attainment of ownership over that. Somehow, there's some lumdus that you still have to say that somehow that office becomes mine. How did that office become mine? So apparently, when I did a Maisa Kinyan on the rest of the offices in the building, so this office that's currently occupied by the senior partner, that doesn't belong to me right now. It belongs to me when his bond to that office is severed. So how did that become mine? How did the senior partner be dislocated, dislodged, so that I can attain ownership over that? I still don't really understand.
I mean, I never understood it until you explained it now. You probably don't understand. It's lack of ownership. What makes something mine? So we know that I built it, I worked at it. That's the legitimate ownership. The fact of the matter is, when I steal it from you, I'm the one about a bus on it. It's not rightfully or justifiably mine as a legal, but it is an etzem balabakasha. It's mine here. It's mine already. So there are two kinds of ownerships. There's an ownership of legitimate ownership. That's what the Torah wants to say. Legitimate ownership. So there we have it. But if I steal it from you, who has it in his hand? It may be illegal. It may be an avera, but the truth of the matter is, it's my hand. And then we have the difference. That's the, I think, the core difference between a ganav and one who is. So then there you have over here the ownership you have to give.
So that might go very well with Rav Elchanan. Rav Elchanan goes on, his dimyon is to a case where you're kind of some sort of an Elon, but the Paris you get in a few months.
I give you another view of this. To me, it's a credit bureau that you don't want to steal. So if you steal, so it becomes yours to give it back. I can't say steal, so I should run to him. He's got to give it back.
Right.
So he's the valid bus to give it back. And that's the simplest interpretation that I see in my head.
So just to get back in for a second. So in terms of so we said there's two mahalchim of how to understand how Shina Kana operates. Either the first mahalch is that it's Petaris Panam Chadashos Balakan, or it's Petaris a demonstration of Bios. Within the Tzad of Panam Chadashos Balakan, there's perhaps three mahalchim of how to understand that either that the kinin is what happens with Betaris Kinin Chatzer, or there's like an Ukmei Rachamnei Rishusei kind of thing, or that it's like Rav Elchanan says. That the Maisa Kinyan that the Gazan did way back when, so that is Chal Mitchila, and then there's just this impediment called Chiyav HaShach. In terms,
so I'm just not understanding once you develop all this with Rav Elchanan, I'm not understanding the difference between approaches 2 and 3.
What do you mean? What do you mean in terms of Ukmei Rachamnei Rishusei? Meaning the Nafkamina obviously would be if it's in your living room. Let's say it's not in your chatzer right now.
No, it's
2 and 3. 2 and 3. I mean, Ukmei Rachman Rav Shusei versus Rav Elchanan. So that's where Rabbi Parker was arguing, is that Rav Elchanan, even though he doesn't say the words almost anywhere, but he seems to have to come on to some idea of Ukmei Rachman Rav Shusei. I don't know exactly. I hear the kash very, 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 very sharp. Sorry, what? What'd you say? But that's Pashat. You have to come for sure. You're always coming up to some sort of Ukmei Rachamnei Rishusei. That's true. I'm asking 100%. I'm asking. You have to come out to Ukmei Rachamnei Rishusei to some degree. That's for sure.
I just spoke to
Wait, so what did he...
The Heshiv Eshagzela, that the Torah says. So the Torah tells you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you the same Torah Moshe, that if you steal something, you have to give it back. So you have an achrayah to give it back. The Torah says it is yours to the extent that you stole it.
Right, there are definitely some who say it that way, for sure. Okay. That your ownership over it is definitely with respect to the chiyuv, okay. With respect to the chiyuv shavah, for sure.
I don't understand the question. So.
I guess it's
such a good answer. You
don't
understand
the question. As far as the Mordechai's question, if according to your second Sabbath book, I thought you were saying that when the Torah is Megala, that the Heshiv no longer applies, it's not Kedin Shagazal. So at that point, the Torah says not only is it just that you don't have a Chiyuv Hashavah, but it's yours.
Yeah, for sure. So
then the difference between, I think, that...
You mean it's just what when it kicks in, right?
There's a halos kinyan, so, and a maisa kinyan when you steal it, and there's an ego. In that second time you present it, it's not... It didn't happen there. It wasn't yours. But the Torah is Megala, that there's no Chiyuv Hashavah, and that's when it becomes yours.
So as far the problem, no. So 100%, Sammy. The problem, I think, though, is that Rav Chanan says in a couple of places, it's not so much that it becomes his lima freya from the moment that he did the ma'aser kinyan, right? It's that he does the ma'aser kinyan and his ownership becomes concretized and solidified and crystallized at the moment that there is a shinoi, which means that everything is really kicking in at the same time, according to both sedanim. It's just a question of what's driving the kinyan. That's only nafka mina that I'm pulling. And Mordechai is just saying, you have to come out to Okmai Rachman Rav Shutzeh.
Someone drive the kinyan. I mean, it could be two things driving the kinyan. That was mine, but it's don't. I mean, what pushes him? I'm sure Rabbi Khan said that there's a reason for it.
I think what Sam was saying also is that the connotation of Okmai Rachman Rav Shutzeh is a positive.
Anybody generally,
in other words, it's not that you have removed an obstacle and that the fundamentally the conditions that allow for your full kinyanim were always there. There was a cloud, there was something that was super artificially preventing that from happening. And when that obstacle is removed, right, then, because remember, if you want to take the senior or junior partner comparison, the point is, you have a senior and junior partner, but they didn't sign up together, right, they're competitive. The junior partners are trying to throw the senior partner out of the penthouse suite from day one, just that the guy's been, holding on with his fingernails. So that just answers the other part of the question. But the point is that that's not Ukma Rachmana Birshusei. That means the conditions are always there. It's been artificially upheld until this point, and now that is gone, so the fruition of the original kinyan, and that's why you're never going to get that if there wasn't kinyan egzela. We look at kinyan egzela, which certainly exists according to pretty much everybody anyway, but we don't look at them as something completely separate, but we look at them as something which is connected to this end, and therefore anything which doesn't have original kinyan, you're never going to say Ukmer Harav Shusa is a different point. That would be maybe comparable, I still suss later on, but to like the Nesivas or other people who think that Shulikona is an independent Kenya, that it's not working off of, or if it does, to the extent that it requires the background of previous Kenyanic Zela, that's merely a description of the situation of Gneva and Chafzishog Zela and so on as exists. But it's not that the Shinoi is a completion of, and certainly not the removal of the artificial obstacles that were holding back the original Shina Koda. It's that just as the Torah creates Kinyanim at the Maisa Geneva or Gezela, so too the Torah creates Kinyanim at this point in time for whatever reasons. Yep. But that's very different.
Okay, right here. Right.
So that's the difference between two and three. I think that's what Sam was saying.
Okay, so in terms of this, that's all within the first mahalach, in terms of Panim Chadashas Balakan. The second mahalach for how Shina Kana might be operating is that Shina Kana operates as a demonstration of Bialas, which we said, of course, Naf Kamina would be to what extent, what kind of Shina do you need exactly? Do you need the active participation of the Gazan? So how exactly does that work, though? Meaning, what does it mean when we say that there's this demonstration of violus that somehow results in a kinyan? What does that mean? It's not, as kimidumani, it's not a shas kinyan that you say, leich mishanu kini or something. There's a kinyan, betaris kinyan gezela, that you mishana the chayfin and somehow becomes yours. So there's two possibilities, at least I think, that you could say. Is that, first of all, that the Gazlan is basically hijacking control over this Chefetz's destiny. And if he hijacks control and he prevents the Baalim from doing as per their wishes, so then that's a kind of a kinyan. Because control over the destiny of the chayfetz is a kind of ownership. And demonstrating that is a demonstration of ownership. That's one possibility, is that it's just hijacking control over the chayfetz's destiny. The second possibility is that shinakaina, as a demonstration of bialus, is that the Torah says v'heshev is gzeila asher gazal. Chiyuv hashavah, like we noted before, is that that's a manifestation of bialus. That's a manifestation of ownership. If you burn the bridge to Hashava, which is the last form of his ownership, perhaps, to this Chafza, if you burn the bridge to Hashava, of Hashava, you're severing the bond, and that severing is a kind of ownership. And I'll just explain to you what, even though it sounds pratiistic, I'll tell you what a Pasha Nafkamina would be between those two tzedarim. Pasha Nafkamina would be, let's say the Goslin makes a shinoi, where the shinoi can only be reversed by himself and not by the owner. So mitzad achad, if you want to talk about hijacking control over the chefetza, he certainly has hijacked control over the chefetza. He's hijacked control of the destiny, and the master, the Baalim Rishonim, certainly have no control over that now. Mitzad sheni, though, if you want to tell me that it's did he burn the bridge to Hashava? He certainly didn't burn the bridge to Hashava. He still can. He can reverse it, and he can give it back. And maybe, depending on how, if you view that as objectively or not, that we'll get to that Be'ezras Hashem. When we talk about Shina Chozel B'Yaso, but that's just one Pasha to Nafkamina. So just Nachmal. There's two Mahalchim, either Panam Chadashas Balakan or a demonstration of Bialus. Within Panam Chadashas Balakan, we have three possibilities. And within this tzad of Shina Kona being a demonstration of Bialus, there's two possibilities. So.
Is there a difference between the
Sanukhana,
the latter version of demonstration of Bialus?
So I think Rav Chanan's Vart. Is that it could be that it fits in, but Pashas, Rav Chanan is trying to explain how Panu Chadashas works if you didn't do Maisa Kinyan. Meaning, what I'm trying to say is that when you do the Kinyan, that is the, right? That's the Shina B'Yadayim, like what Ari spoke about, is that is the Kinyan. As opposed to Rav Chanan is saying that the Maisa that you did when you're Motzi Meshus Bailim, that's the Kinyan. That's.
So
I think that the nafkamina between those two is that Rav Chanan is saying Chiyuv Hashavah is a heichat timsa for it's a technicality, so to speak. Even though I don't really think it's a technicality, but it's a technicality that there's a Chiyuv Hashavah, and as soon as I neutralize the Chiyuv Hashavah, that means that the kinyan that I did a few months ago was meaningful. What I'm saying now is that by actively burning that bridge, that is the kinyan. Right, that's the difference. In other words, Enochanami, you're right. I'll neutralize the Chiyuv Hashavah. That's true. That'll be the effect of it. But by burning the bridge, how do you demonstrate bialus by being Mashana? Right, exactly.
That's one reflects the Kenyan. One creates the Kenyan, sorry. The other
right.
Reflects the removal of the obstacle.
Yeah.
They're totally
yeah.
Different.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like someone like Hassel's Gim Mashana in the sense that by demonstrating that I own this, it's a Raya, but certain
bias
over it against his, and that itself establishes your.
I wasn't, Sammy, I wasn't in Rav Rosen's vibe for Cheska Zabatim like you were. I don't.
Because that's what Kenyan is. Chazaka is.
What if I said now? Is it in the Torah? We'll see. You're not asked. Of course you did. So, he's just saying it. Signal, then you have to make it up. That's really the practice. I don't know why nobody brings in those signals. Those signals makes it easy. You know how to steal that because if you steal it, it's not yours. You have to give it back, even with that's the reason for it.
Because there's so many kinyanim when you steal.
Yeah,
somebody.
But you import it. Because Baruch made these kinyanim. He said, Baruch was a low signal. That's what I understood what you said. So he made this trick. And then once he makes it, he says, not good, he doesn't leave things that in the world happen that are not justice. He wants justice in the world. He wants honesty in the world, integrity in the world. So he expects, it's implicit in it, very directly implicit in it. This is no good. Murder is no good, but he did very work, I do. The same thing. It's exactly the same thing. So we hear you're not allowed to do it. So you have to give back. So, but the giving back is not exactly the same as when I really owned it, because I built it and did something to it. That's a distinction.
So this is in terms of, so far, in terms of how does Shina Kona work. Now, Mistama then, what that would mean is that Shina Lo Kona is going to have to be the opposite of these, of any one of these forms, of any one of these lumdasin that we're suggesting within Shina Kona. So, for example, if you say that Shina Kona means Panam Chadashos Balakan, so then what that would mean is that for some reason when you say Shina Lo Kona, Panam Chadashos doesn't intimidate you. So the question is, why not? So what does that mean when you say that Shina Lo Kona? So I think that there's two possibilities, and Rav Chanan also speaks this out. It's not too crazy. Anyway, so the one possibility is that Lamaisa, when you're Mashana the Chayfet, or when this item morphs into something, it's not considered to be changed. We view it, I guess the way that I would say it, you view it in molecules. You stole molecules, and the molecules are there. You manipulated them, they became manipulated, they look different, but they're the same molecules. Shinoi has no impact. Shinoi didn't do anything. And Mimela, you stole my molecules, you have to give back my molecules, and that's how it works. Shina lo kana, because Panam Chadashos Balakan doesn't make a difference. It's not that there was a change. There was no change.
Shina b'makom ha'omed.
Right. Shina b'makom, meaning not Panam Chadashos. Right, exactly.
Where do you find the bilis on molecules?
What do you mean? How do you not have bilis on molecules?
He's asking a deeply scientific and philosophical question.
I mean, the question, what does bilis extend to? You have
ownership over your chafatim. Yeah.
Now you're saying that
it's,
not only ownership over your
chafatim,
you have
bilis
over
molecules.
That's
meaning,
what I mean
is that it's the same
amashes.
Meaning
it's
that you
not,
stole.
It hasn't changed.
It's
the same chafatim.
What? But I'm trying to say is that it's the same. It's the same item. Meaning the right. Meaning to say that when I steal your wood and I make a shtender, so you might say, oh, it's a shtender. I didn't steal a shtender. I stole lumber. But what the argument of this tzad is that's not true. That you stole those molecules, which, not saying that you have ownership over, you know, microscopic entities in the universe. Maybe you do. I don't know. But the point is
that the shtender is still wood.
Right.
That's a little different. In other words,
that means that it's the same identity.
That's you're really saying, Shinu, that Panam Chadashos Balakan, but we don't care anyway because the molecules are still there.
I mean, but then it's not Panam Chadashos.
No,
I'm saying
it's not wood anymore. It's a shtender, but who cares? Because there's still molecules. But what you really mean to say is the view in the Gemara, the way the Gemara sometimes formulates it, shina b'makom ha'omed.
Okay,
which means that the shtender is still the wood.
Right. Oh, okay.
Now, from a shtender point of view, that might not be like so edifying. But then you'd avoid the molecule question.
I don't. What I and the Hanami. I okay.
No, but you could. I'm just saying you could say either way. It is different perspective.
Okay.
You assume you mean the second? You're not sure.
I have to think about it. I'm not sure. In other words, I hear what point you're trying to zone in on. Do you have to say that there's? Do you view it as wood? In other words, what I'm saying,
we'll say it in a weird clear way, which I'm guessing you're going to get to also, which is that, like, do you, is there any room to be mechalek, let's say, between different areas of halacha, for example? Like, if it's a question, like, Rachis Hages, or Esan Zona, or whatever, in other words, as long as the continuity of the chayfets is the major issue, then it's easier to explain the more universal or general applications. Whereas if the question is, you know, what a bilis over this, or then it could be the area of bilis is different than, you know, and Gezel is different than Rishis Hagez, which is different than Esan Zona, which is, and so on. That's really
okay. I hear.
Pure Panam Chadashos would still, he would still not be the bilim and total Panam Chadashos. Your table would, even that would be wood. Your wood turned into metal.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be the
violin
in that.
I don't know. I'm just saying the language of the Gemara. What do you mean you wouldn't be the violin? I'm saying, and we're talking about the Mandamar Shinu Yedikon.
Right,
I'm just saying that in the Talmud.
They're supposed to ask whether
or
not are there violin and molecules.
The what?
Are there violin and molecules? So.
I'm just saying you don't even. I don't think you need to get to that. I'm saying the language of the Gemara is shiluv makoma omed for that. So again, I think there's still two ways to learn it, but it's easy to say that, you know, as long as we can still identify by not saying panim chadash is ba'al lekan, you know what we're saying, or by saying it's true that panim chadash is ba'al lekan, but it doesn't eliminate. It's not mutually exclusive to shiluv makoma omed. Maybe two things are going on here. I think that's also possible. It's a shtender, but it still is the wood. Or is it once it's a shtender, it's not wood. It's wood is what it's composed of, but it no longer has the identity of wood.
Right, but I mean,
either way, those both are still different than the molecules.
That's not the question if you're...
I'm asking you. That's the thing.
If it gradually changed, maybe you still have vitalism.
You could still draw the line at different places.
Turn it into something
right.
else. You could say the shtender is abad min ha'olam, and this new thing is...
Right.
Who says it's yours?
I'm saying it's if you look at the molecules... Then it's then there's nothing more to talk about. But if you're looking at components and the halachic definition of how do you identify things and when some things are either what new creations are or what you know what neutralizing old existences are, then that's already a different question.
Raises
another problem. You have a piece of wood. It's my wood. You stole my wood. Took the wood and made a beautiful table. That suits you too. It was mine. It was originally mine. You took my wood. It's my wood. So if you just look at the wood, the component they took, the material they took, it's very easily, more easily understood. You've got to get it back. But it's really not. Because I took them with my wood. I maybe made artistic wood out of them. Artistic item with them. I did a great piece of furniture, big barn, whatever it was, worth $1 million. That takes a length of time. So that you have to admit, when you just think about it, it can't be. So once it can't be, you can't really judge how much is mine and how much I took it, I can clean that, you should clean it. Even if I did learn.
This is at least one tzad, perhaps, in how shina lo kana would work. In other words, if you say panel chadash, so in other words, if you say shina b'mkoma omed, so then, however you want to say it, either the item isn't changed because it's still wood, or it's molecules. The second possibility would be that. Even if the item is considered different, maybe it is considered different. But afal pikein, the Torah says ve'yishev hazgazel asher gazel, and then maybe what that would mean is that there's a more liberal understanding for what it means, how you can satisfy your chiv hashava. In other words, afal pikein looks different; it's changed, but that doesn't make a difference. You still have a chiv to return the cheftza, because the Torah you can view it as a chumrah that the Torah expects you to give it back, or that no, you still have the opportunity to give it back, even though it looks different. This chakira,
even if it has a different identity, or it just looks different. Even if the old identity is completely
okay, anachanami. It's even though it's a different identity.
So what makes it different than giving back something else, a different standard? I'm saying, are you suggesting that? You could go so far with this more liberal Ve'eshev HaZayel Asher Gazal that even if it's Panim Chadash Bo Lakant to the exclusion of the original identity, that you would still say it?
So I don't know. I'm not sure how long this works. It's for sure a question. How that works exactly, why you have to be Mekayim Mechiv HaShav, I'm not sure. It's Rav Elchanan's line, it's Rav Chaim for sure.
It's what?
It's Rav Chanan's line, it's Rav Chanan's chakira, and it's Rav Chaim assumes that way for Davar Pashat. How? He doesn't...
Assumes what? That there would be a Chiyav HaShava on the which is a totally different identity?
The Lashon that he says...
Which one are you reading from?
From Gezela Beis Tesvav. The way that Rav Chanan... Rav Chanan presents it as the chakira, where he says, if I can find it... One second...
I think there's a little more subtle ways in between, in which, like what I said before, I wasn't just trying to nitpick at you. Meaning, you could say that something is changed, and you could still say that that doesn't eliminate its origins. I could say something. It also depends on the extent of the change. There's both a legal question and a physical question, and the question of both. But all I'm saying is that minimum, if you don't have any continuity, any tziruf to the previous,
then it's a very big object. Then it's a very, very big
object.
Yeah, I'm asking for sure.
Chaim said or meant that. But if you are redlining,
I think that you're right 100% that you'd have to say something like that, right. that there's some shyness to the shul owner.
You don't have to deny any change. You could say, oh, now it's a shtender, you know, but it's still a shtender made out of the wood that you stole. Does hashava depend on its prime identity, or it's the fact that there's a new identity? Is it so easy to lose hashava because it's a new identity, or is the hashava so tenacious that as long as there's something that remains of the old identity, That's sufficient too. Now that question itself may depend a lot on your first group of issues,
right?
Shinui kona.
For sure. I'm asking 100%.
I'm just only objecting, and not to gotcha you, but because I just don't think it's correct.
I mean, would that be a problem anyway?
The gotcha you?
Yeah.
Well, I try to think that I don't do that, but I hope that mostly I don't. But yeah, I just don't think it's legally acceptable.
No, it's very. I'm asking 100%. The lashon of Rav Elchanan when he speaks at the Tut Sadadim is his first sad. Is ulfiz al manda machina in a koina after the farshenei ta'amim. The first one is aleph that al dei hashina lo nasis panam chadashos vakati mikri kein shagazal. For some reason, it's considered kein shagazal. Shina b'mkama omei. Beis da filo lo havi kein shagazal mikoma kum chayv lahashiv.
But it still needs to be the identity. The chefza shall gazela. It just have to be kein shagaza. For pashtas.
I 100%.
Body of the Eved is even halachically identified with him. We're going to be covering among the bottom Kananim, but the Maisa, other than that, that's where Shimei Kona is not a man. I mean, Eved became Shimei Kona.
Right.
I think that's what
100%. 100%.
That, by the way, does touch on Malik.
We're not talking about molecules anymore, if you don't mind. the line that I wanted to read from Rav Chaim, where Rav Chaim basically, I mean, the Talmud, the Rebbe, whatever, what Rav Chaim presents as a chakira, Rav Chaim assumes for Davar Pashat. Actually, I shouldn't say for Davar Pashat because it's pedagogical. I'm not sure, but the way that he says it is. The shaper mekayma mitzvah hashava v'yachol lo maharisha chol ofenacha. So, okay. So now I'm trying to. Okay. So that's so nachmal. So there's within shina kanu we have two mahalchim, either panu chadashos balakana or it's a demonstration of bialis. And corresponding to that understanding of how Shina Kona works, so then we have to understand how Shina Lo Kona would work. So we spoke at so far how Shina Lo Kona would work. So now the question within the tzad of Panu Chadash was Baal Lakan, but within the tzad of a demonstration of Baalis is how Shina Kona works. So how would Shina Lo Kona work? So there's two possibilities, I think, that you'll have to say. And I haven't ironed out the wrinkles 100%. But I think what you would have to say is that, number one, when we said before that the demonstration of bialis is that you're hijacking control over the destiny of the chayfetz, so then what you'll have to say, corresponding to that tzad, is that when you're mashana the chayfetz, what that means is that changing the item doesn't necessarily demonstrate bialis. Because it's composed of, maybe because it's the same thing, maybe, not 100% why, not 100% sure why, but...
Or sufficiently to create a new bialis reality.
Right. I don't know how you draw up the parameters. Certainly within we'll get to it as Rashi Shita, but and the second possibility is that changing the second possibility of how Shina Lokana would work Betoras when Shina Kona works Betoras a demonstration of Bialas. So then what that would mean is that maybe when you burn the bridge to Hashava, then very understandable that you when you burn the bridge to Hashava, that doesn't necessarily demonstrate Bialas. Corresponding to the other side that we suggested within Shina Kona, that demonstration of bialis, what David brought out, that eliminating that chiyav hashava isn't necessarily considered a form of a demonstration of bialis. Yeah.
Is it that they're not demonstrating the? Sorry, is it that they're shama, but they.
But Meichah didn't say that that should be a kinyan, meaning that that.
If there's no, I'm saying if they hold that there's still a chiva shava. There's a chiva shava.
Oh, you're going wait. So you're going back to the first stat, you mean?
Well, not necessarily. Meaning okay. If there's no chiva, sorry, if chiva shava is nimshach, so then it could be that the reason why they hold that there's you can see after if you not take the chiva shava. Meaning you're saying that the, what would show the violence of the tefta is the fact that you're able to not take the chiva shava, but if you hold like.
No, 100%. You could definitely have to say some sort of lomdus like that. That's for sure. Meaning, it's just the why it is that, that's not clear. I'm asking. In other words, the fact that you're burning the bridge to Hashava and the Konami, why it is that that doesn't result in a kid? Why it is that that's shinalo kunis and the Konami? That's very very possible because it's very shot. It's very very hard to sever the bond between the Baalim and the Chavetz. That could be, and you build off of Rav Chaim's second side within the first model that we suggested. I'm 100%. That's very, very possible.
I'm just asking you, is there even any type whatsoever? Are you actually burning the bridge?
So that...
I mean, according to that she is not from now, are you actually burning the bridge?
So,
if it really is a
case... 100%. Meaning that is very possible why it is that Shina Lo Kona. Meaning if you hold it side that it has to be a demonstration of bilis, and I hold Shina Lo Kona, then that's very possible. Maybe it's not considered a demonstration of violence because they hold that it's not burning the bridge because the bridge hasn't been burned because maybe they'll hold that in a time. That's possible.
Meaning what he's bringing out is more than possible. He's just saying, he's making a good aura of that. If you really think that's the basis of Shini Kona, then you have a very easy explanation of what Nomar says Shini Lo Kona because it isn't really that Shini's Lo Kona. It's really that he holds... Maybe for the same reason that Shina Lo Kona, that this is Lachia Vashama.
Yeah, sure. Massive. Okay. So now, just in terms of how the Rishonim at least occupy the constellation of possibilities, Taisvis Kiyadua, as has been spoken about a number of times before, obviously the Taisvis and Baba Kama Samachayim at Beis, where they're confused how it is that the Gemara can possibly compare Esnan with Kinyani Gzela. So the Balatos has come to the conclusion where they say that it's Chashav Ka'acher, Vein Ze Oso Shabali Yado, which, as has been suggested before, would fit nicely into the idea of Panam Chadashos Balakan, that Shina Kona, at least according to Balatosis, works Betoras Panam Chadashos Balakan, that this is not the same Chefza that was stolen, and Mamela, you'd have to come into some sort of alum just to figure out how the Kinyan works, which, of course, that goes into one of the things that I already pointed out, the Pnei Yoshua's Havana, why it is that the Balatosis feel that should be the Makar for Kinyan, why Esnan should legitimately be a Makar for Shina Kaina, Mechate see that there is a Shina Kaina, but you'd have to come into some sort of alumnus like Rav Elchanan. There are other issues, perhaps, with that Mahalach. If you suggest Rav Elchanan's Mahalach within Taisvis, it might become a little bit tricky just because Taisvis themselves say explicitly that you need Das Kaina, you need Das Likness. And Rav Elchanan himself tweaks that and says it doesn't really mean das liknos, it means das ligzel, and you have to orient the maisa that you're doing in order to that's exact. I don't really want to talk about it. I don't really understand it 100%. That's one possibility is Taisvis's Havana. The Rambam's Havana, I think, is kain that. The Rambam in Hilchos Gezeila, first of all, Mitchila, starting where he just introduces Gezeila in Perak Aleph, so the Rambam immediately takes the side of Panam Chadashos Balakan, at least Kimidumani, he says in Halacha Hey, Kola Gozel Chai Lahachzer Gzela Atzma, Shenemer Veheshev as Gzela Asher Gazal, Vim Avada, O Nishtanis Masham Demeha. In other words, if the item was changed, not that you changed it, but if it was changed, then Masham Demeha. And likewise, and when the Rambam opens up in Perk Beis, the way that he introduces this is, at least I think, corresponding to what he has, what he sets up in the Kotaret as the Chiv Hashava that you have. So he says, Hagzela Shalom Nishtanis, Hare Ella, Hare Hi, Kemosha Haisa, Avobish Nesyashu Balam, Men of Avobish Mace, Hagazan, Varehi Bianak Banov, Hare Zucho Zeres Baleha, Beatzma. V'im nishtanis b'yaragaz, nachemol, where he uses passive language, afo pi shadayin alone is yashu ba'al mimena, kano sa b'shinoi. U'masham demel kishas ha'gzela. V'din zen alach ha'bezi says, din toruhu, shemar v'eshav is ha'gzela asher gazal, mi piyash mo'lamdu, im hi kishagazala, masham osa. V'im nishtanis b'yado, that if it was changed while he had it, so then masham demel. Not that you have to actively change anything, but more along the lines of panam chadashos balakan. The at least for Shitas Rashi, so Kiyadua, the famous Rashi on Samach Vav, Rashi says Kemat Beferish, that the way that he understands Veheshev as a Gazela Asher Gazal, when Rabbi says Kasiva Vatanina, the Rashi's understanding is that Shinoi works because you're doing a Shina B'yadayim, which, as I think Aryeh spoke it out, that it's a Pella, the Ktsois raises the Pella in light of a couple of other Mishnayos, Mechatesi, that Shina should be B'yadayim. We seem to understand throughout, and we'll, as a Shem Blainer, we'll get through this a little bit later, how could be that Shinoi B'yadayim, we would be mechal between passive Shinoi or active Shinoi, but Rashi is Kamapa Feirish, where he says that it's B'yadayim. Okay. So now, in terms of just another sniff of how this plays out, is perhaps within the context of Shina Chozel B'riyasa. The Gemara in Baba Kama Tzadi Gimel, the Mishnah opens up with six cases, three sets of two. The first set of cases is a person steals wood, makes kalim, steals wool, makes begadim. So we say, "Areza Masham Kshas Gazela." So the Gemara says in Mitchila that there's a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah seems to indicate that the earliest point, at least the way the Rashi understands it, the earliest point during which the gazlin can be called a chetza is when he turns it into a full-fledged keli. And the Braisa seems to indicate that that's not true. If you sand down the wood, but the Braisa says if you do shipoy to the wood, if you are malabing the wool, if you're menaka, the pishtan, or you've been sate savanim, whatever it is, but there seem to be earlier stages in the keli making process during which or at which a gazlin should be able to be kun. And the Braisa says, indeed, reza masham kishas gazela. So how do you rectify the steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa? And there are basically three mahachim of how to do that. The first, the two of them are in the Gemara, the third is in Taisvis. The first is Abaye. Abaye explains that there's a pashat of machlokas, at least between whether we, not necessarily machlokas, but at least the way that he understands it is that the Braisa, which says the chipoy is what results in a kinyan, is that's discussing Shinoim Daraisa. Because Shinoim Daraisa are Shina Sheina Chosel Briyasa. Mashenkin in the Mishnah, the Mishnah is talking about where you obtained wood that was already finished, treated wood. And Mamela, if you're being Mashana, that's not a Shina Sheina Chosel Briyasa, that's a Shina HaChosel Briyasa. And that Chiddush, that's not Petaris Daraisa, that's not a Daraisa kinyan, that's a Darabanim kinyan. That's a Bais Mahalach. Ravashi's Mahalach is that he makes Ukimtas in both the Mishnah and the Baisa that basically say that they're talking about the same case. They're both talking about cases where you change the item and you're making a kli, and he left Afka's the Lashon in the Mishnah, in the Baisa, where it sounds like Shipoy is just sanding it down. You're sanding it down in order to fashion a kli. And that's also what we mean in the Mishnah as well. In other words, according to Ravashi, you're doing a Shinoi Daraisa in both cases. You're doing a Shinoi to make a kli, Ayidei Shina, that's Enochos Labriyasa. Now, Rabba, as we know, is complicated, at least according to Taisus. Rashi is, I think, beferish, the way that he understands Rabba, that Rabba's initial understanding is that he's discussing, when he says, Veshav Zela, Asher Gazal, Kasiva, Vatanina, that means, Shina She'en Echoz Labriya. So Rashi on Sadegimo, I think, says that. Taisus, though, as we know, from Samachem Abayz, Taisus have a little bit more complicated understanding for how that works. The Balei Taisus say, well, how does this make any sense? Because the Balei Taisus understand that Esnan, nobody can really fight with Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel are the one who understand that gam shinuyeh, heim v'lo shinuyeh, excuse me, and heim v'lo shinuyeh means that shina kaina, and that's a universal din, and Mamela, the Balei Tos says, hey, if that's the makar for shina kaina, which is esnan, so then how can anybody fight with that? And there are Amoraim who seem to disagree with that. We find Rav Yochan, we find Rav Chizda, so the Balei Tos say that clearly, no one's going to argue with Beis Hillel about that, because that makar of esnan is really discussing shina she'en echoz labriya. So the only thing that's up for contention is the pasuk of Vehechvach Zeila Asher Gazal, which is Rabba's pasuk. And that's why Rabba comes in and he's mechadesh that pasuk of Vehechvach Zeila Asher Gazal is referring to Shinoi HaChozel B'riyasa. which would mean by extension also that Rabbah understands that when he says Ksiva v'tenina, the Mishnah, Rabbah introduces this idea by saying Ksiva, that the pasuk is Veshul Gazel, that's Shur Gazel, and then his Makar for that, the way the places that he finds in Shas that seem to support that idea are two Mishnais, one in Chulin, in Reish HaSageiz, and one in the opening Mishnah in the ninth Perek. And Rabbah seems to understand that the Tanin over there is that in both of those cases, Rabbah's clearly going to have to understand that when the Mishnah says the case of stealing wood and making kalim, Tzemer v'asan v'ganim, all those cases in the Mishnah are really forms, or at least those two cases, are forms of Chozer l'Briyaso cases. Same thing for the case of Reish HaSageiz, where you dye the wool. So that's also a case of Chozer l'Briyaso. How can that be? So you bleach that out. Maybe that's a possibility for when someone takes somebody else's sefer and writes in it. So that could be a Shina Chozer l'Briyaso. Not clear how Liban works. Are you dyeing the pre-existing red dye molecules, or are you washing it out? I don't know how these things work, but fine. So the point is that according to Taisfus, though, the Balei Taisfus understand that Rabbah's understanding is that Shina Chozer l'Briyaso is within the Rais as well. If that's the case, how does Rabbah understand, how would Rabbah resolve the steer between the Mishnah and the Rais and Nachamel? The Mishnah says that if you make Kalim out of these things, then it's Masham Kshasa Gazela. The Braisa says you don't have to make Kalim, full-fledged Kalim, you just have to do sheepoid to the wood. That results in Masham Kshasa Gazela, whatever that means. And Rabbah, so how would Rabbah understand that? He can't say like Abaye, because Abaye was Machal between the Raisas and the Rabbanans. So he's not going to subscribe to that, because Rabbah thinks that Shina Chozer l'Briyaso is within the Raisa. He can't subscribe to Ravashi, because Ravashi specifically says that he's talking about cases where you fashion full-fledged Kalim Ayidei Shina She'en Chozer l'Briyaso. So how is Rabbah going to understand? It must be the Rabbah is going to have to say, it says the Balei Taisfus in Sadi Gimel, that Rabbah is going to have to say that the Mishnah is discussing Shina Chozer l'Briyaso on a Raisa level, and the Braisa is discussing Shina She'en Chozer l'Briyaso on a Raisa level. In other words, the same idea that we said for Abaye, just in a Raisa realm. And what emerges then from the Balei Taisfus, and they delineate this, that for Ravashi, what happens in the Gemara is as follows. Abaye is going to understand that in order to do a Shina She'en Chozer l'Briyaso, you don't need to shaf a kli. You don't have to change something. It doesn't have to be Taurus Kliya Love, Taurus Shame Kliya Love, whatever that would mean. You just have to change the item in a physical way that's in a Chozer l'Briyaso. That's how you effect the Shinoi Daraisa. In order for Rav Ashi to be happy with a Shina that you're doing, to be on a Daraisa level Shina Kaina, Rav Ashi would tell you that you need a Shina that's in a Chozer l'Briyaso, but not just that it's in a Chozer l'Briyaso, but there's no Taurus Shame Kli on it. You would need a Shame Kli as well. You'd need a Shina Shein Chozer l'Briyaso coupled with a change in the identity. Rabbah then comes along, and Rabbah will tell you that on a deraisa level, he'll tell you that Shina, that's Chozer l'Briyaso, works if you made a kli, even though you didn't change necessarily, you didn't change it in a way that's Shina Shena Chozer l'Briyaso, but he'll tell you that all you need is a Shina Chozer l'Briyaso, even though it's Chozer l'Briyaso, but l'maisa, you shaft the Taurus kli on it. Masha'in Kain, for Shina Shena Chozer l'Briyaso, you don't need a Shane kli on it. That's just Pasha the Gemara Rashi Taisus. So, The Gemara that the Balei Taisfus used to buttress their idea for Rav Ashi is the Gemara in Tzadi Vav. The Gemara in Tzadi Vav is discussing various cases of where you do shinuyim that are not necessarily coupled with a shinoy Hashem. The Gemara discusses, let's say you chop someone's tree out of their ground and you transplant it in your backyard. Is that considered shinoy kain? So the Gemara says no. So why not? Because it was called a dekel once before, and it's called a dekel now. Excuse me. So the Balei Taisfus say, so what you see from that Gemara, from those Gemaras over there, and this supports, excuse me, Rav Ashi's idea that in order to effect a Shina Kona on a Daraisa level, you need a Shina that's in Chozer l'Briyaso coupled with a Shina Hashem. That's how the Balei Taisfus understand it. So there are two very curious words that appear in Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, and I don't know how far to take the diak, and but the Gemara in Tzadi Gimel Beis uses the words to describe Shina Chozer l'Briyaso. The Gemara says when Abai first introduces it, Amar Abai Tana Didan Ketana Shina Darabana the Hadra Vakol Shekin Shina Daraisa Eitzim Vason Kalim BeEitzim Meshupanu Ma'inin Hu Nisarim the Shina Darhar l'Briyaso Hu Diibai Mashleflu. The way that we translated in fifth grade would be, if he wants to, he can undo it. And Tzemer Vasan Begadim, V'Tzemer Tavi Deshina Dehadol B'Yasu, Di'ibayi Satarle. If he wants to, he can undo it. V'Kol Shekin Shina Deraisa, etc. the more appropriate term might have been if it's about an objective reality of the item having morphed into something else and you don't necessarily care about active participation, why do we care if you want to do something? Why didn't the Gemara say something along the lines of a matzi mashal flahu, he's able to, or it's shayich to be chayzer? Why is it if he wants to, and who is he wants to? And you might think it's crazy, but the Gemara on Tzadivav totally ignores this lashon. The Gemara and Tzadivav, when Amoraim deal with it, Rav and Rav Papa, etc., when they talk about Shina Chozer B'Yasa versus Shina Shena Chozer B'Yasa, they say explicitly, let's say, Lamashal, for Rav's case of making a broom out of a palm leaf, so he discusses, Hutziva Dinu Chufya, Kanimi Akaru, Hutziva Hashel Chufya, Chufya V'Avdi Shashura, Lo Kanim Aitam, Dehadr Satarle, V'Avdi Chufya. It's that he can go back and change it. It is reversible. Maybe referring to the person match, I'm not so good with Aramaic grammar. One second. And it's consistent. I'll tell you why it's striking. I wouldn't have noticed it had I not seen it at least more emphasized or downplayed within the Rishonim. Rashi, within those two places on Sadi Gilman Beis, says the lashon of when he says in Dibur Maaschov Vakolshek and Shina Daraisa. Rashi in the middle says the Havishina Kalsha Chozer the Briyah. So the Ibay Mashlif Umenatak and the Sarm Zumizu Varehin the Sarm Kavat Chila Vafilu Hachi Kana. Now you could just say that what Rashi is doing is he's copying and pasting from the Gemara. I don't think he needs to say that, but I'll tell you why it's striking in a second. In the next Rashi, Tzemer Vasan Begadim, he does the same thing. El Afilu Gazel, he says towards the end, he says Afilu Gazel Tzemer Tavoy Va'argo Dehardel Briyaso the Ibay Satar La Vavichutin Kmei Kara. Why is it striking? On Tzadi Gimel Beis, it's not necessarily striking. The reason that it's striking, perhaps, is because on Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, where the Gemara suppresses that Lashon, Rashi, when he discusses the Shina Chozer B'Yaso, when the Gemara discusses, let's say, Rapap introduces the case of if you steal a Nasva, you steal some sort of a gold nugget, or a chunk of gold, or gold, a chunk of silver, Mechavrei V'Avid Zuzi Lokani, the Gemara says, Maitama Hadri Avid Luhu Nascha. Rashi says, Hadar Avaluhu Natscha Imirtsa. So it was totally, if you want to tell me he's copying and pasting, so that would have made sense in Tzadi Gimel. It does make sense in Tzadi Vav. So why is it exactly that Rashi's highlighting Imirtsa? And Rashi goes on with this interesting idea when he says, Vashina Chozer B'Yasu Hu Vahacha Leik Lamemar Panu Kadashos, Deinara Makbid Al Ribua Vitikuna Elishtei Chaticha Ba'ama. Which, Bepashas itself, should have been a little bit jarring, just because, what are you talking about? You took his gold, you melted it down, you made a coin, so you can make it back to, now, okay, Lemaitre doesn't look, it's not going to look the same way that it was before. It's definitely not the same gold nugget that it was a second ago. But Rashi gives you this almost philosophical understanding about how people work. So, Efsher, I don't know if it's a clear-cut diak, but Efsher, that who's the Ibai? Is the Ibai referring to the Gazlan, or is the Ibai referring to the Nigzal? If you tell me that the Ibai is referring to the Gazlan, then it seems a little bit funny. Because who cares if the Gazlan wants to do something? If anything, I should have highlighted, if the Gazlan is able to do something, so then he can it's restorable to its original status. If you tell me that it's referring to the Nigzal, then I hear a little bit better. Because I would care a little bit more about if the Bailim are able to reverse what the Gazlan did. If the Baalim are able to reverse what the Gazlan did, then Ken Zayin, that's not a Shina Chozer B'Yaso, that's a Shina Chozer B'Yaso. If you tell me that the Baalim can't restore it, so then Anachnami, maybe that's a Shina She'ina Chozer B'Yaso. Because what we care about is if the Baalim can undo what the Gazlan did. And even though it sounds a little bit jarring, but I think it might be Shaykh, just in light of the Kli Chemda. The Kli Chemda...
And if I'm ruining your punchline, just let me know. Are you saying this distinction as a shear in the objective change?
So that's where we're going. Okay. So like this. Can I get back to you in a second? Okay. So there's an interesting within Taisvis and the Rajba, way back when on Samach Zayin or so, when the Gemara discusses Yishkani. The Gemara over there says that is bringing a ride to the Rabbah and says, brings a Tosefta and Trumas. And the Tosefta and Trumas says, let's say a Gazlan steals stuff and he's mafresh Truma. So the question is, if it works, and we say that it does. So the Shaila is, why does it work? So Elamai Yishkani. So the Baalei Tosfos ask, and all the Rishonim ask, so why is that though? It's Shina Chozer B'Yaso. Why? because it's Efshar Aydei She'ela. So if it's Efshar Aydei She'ela, so it's a Shinu Chotzer B'Yasav. So Taisus says, oh, it's because it's Lo Shechicha. And the Rashba says, well, actually, who cares if it's Lo Shechicha? We find the Gemara in Sadeh Gimel discusses dyeing wool, and dyeing wool, it's not very Shechicha to undye wool. So washing out the dye is also not Shechicha. So that can't be a factor. So the Rashba says it's because it's annoying, or that's, actually I shouldn't say that, Lashon, that's not what he said. What he says is that you have to come into the assistance of others in order to get the job done. And Mimela, that's a Shinoi, that's why it's not considered Shinoi Shaino Chozo B'Yasa. So on that point, the Kli Chemda and Matis has an interesting idea. And the Kli Chemda says, the Bechol Shinoi HaChozo B'Yasa Yesh B'Yad HaNigzal LaHachzir L'B'Yasa. What he says is that who's doing the chazara? Who's restoring the item to the way that it was before? Who would do the she'elas chachamim? So, bepashtus, the svar chitanel is going into any standard case is that the person who was mafresh truma is the person who undoes it. So, frakta kli chemda, what do you mean? How can that be? We don't care about the Gazan being able to reverse something. We expect the Nigzal to be able to reverse something. So Memela, that's why he tweaks the Rashba and Taisus to say, clearly what they must hold is that the Baal Mishanim, even though the Gazan was the one who was Mafresh Truma, must be that the Baal Mishanim can still undo it. But the Pashtus, at least I think, is that no. What it means is that the Gazlan, what we're trying to say over here, is that the Pashtus and the Rashba and Taisus is that the Gazan is the one who can reverse it. But the Hanacha of the Kli Chemda seems to be very mistaver. In other words, the Kli Chemda seems to be naming on for Davar Pashat that it's the Bailim who have to be able to reverse it. And if that's the case, then maybe this is perfect within Shitas Rashi. In other words, if Rashi understands that Shina kind of works as a demonstration of Bailis, as he does say, Shina biyadaim is what's kind of, so then what Rashi would tell you is that why does Rashi care about Im Yirtza? So if he's talking about the Gazan, then it's very shvert. It's a little bit hard to understand why would you care Ibai or if the Gazan wants to. But if you tell me that demonstration of Bailis is that you've hijacked control over the destiny of the Chefetz so that the Bailim can no longer do their bidding as per their wishes and impose what they want in this Chefetz, and you reverse it in a way, you do something to it in a way that it's irreversible by the Bailim, then I can understand it. Because then what Rashi means when he says Imyurtsa is that it's referring to Ibai Mashalflu. If the Bailim want to, meaning you haven't demonstrated Bailim sufficiently. Because the Bailim can still reverse it. Masha Ein Kain, if you learn like the Rashba and like Taisvis, then they for Taisvis, as we've said before, that Taisvis' understanding of Shina Kaina is an objective reality, it's Panam Khadash's Balakan. They don't care about if it's the Gazan or the Nigzal per se. They care much more about the item objectively being able to be reversed. So the fact that the Gazan or the Nigzal is the one who's able to reverse it, that's immaterial for the Valley of Taisus and for the Rashba. And Mimela, that's what, and I think Ken Zayin, if you look through the Rishonim, at least I think in the beginning of the ninth parak, the Baal HaTosfos don't use those words. They downplay Ibai. If you look in the Rambam, when the Rambam discusses this case exactly, this case of Nascha, the Rambam doesn't throw in Yirtza. If the Baalim want to, they can reverse it. The Rambam says Pashit. The Rambam says, is it possible to reverse it? Can this be reversed? Because for the Rambam, as we said before, the Rambam understands that it's an objective thing. It's the Chayfetz Nishtanis, and that's how you create Shina Kaina. Okay. So, wait, did somebody have some item?
You'll return back into a nasa. And Rashi's just saying that's not necessary, you just need the potential to return it.
And why does he say it if you want to then? I mean, why he should say then if he's able to.
Rashi's trying to tell me it's not necessary to. Because the Lashon HaGemara was Rashi, you need it.
Meaning that's Rashi's way of saying if it's totally up in the air, how you. Is that what you mean? What do you mean exactly?
What I was saying is that I don't know whether this affects your point or not, but to me it sounded like what you were saying is the reason why Rashi said that Yirtza says that it's actually important that the Bailim be able to, was it the Gazan or the Bailim?
The Bailim.
The Bailim should be able to return it to, yeah. its original status.
Right.
And I'm not sure that Rashi needed to say Yimirza for that reason. There might be a perfectly legitimate other reason why Rashi needed to say
Yimirza. What would that be?
Which is that you would have thought, the Gemara seems to, well, Lashmai Gemara by itself would have been mashma that they had to actually return it to the original state. Not that if you wanted to, it was possible, and all we talked about was the potential to have it, but not specifically the God, the Nigdom as opposed to, or the Nigzal as opposed to the God.
I'm not following. Just. So what? The meaning, in other words,
you
so
say
why
the word Yirtza refers to not who, but that it's not something that has to happen, something that could happen.
I don't know if that makes sense in the context of the argument. My first experience seeing or having seen the Gemara in Kali.
So Nachum, so why would you use a lashon? Why would you use a lashon of Ratan as opposed to Shayach or something?
What'd you say?
Why is that? Why is that?
Could. It's just saying that.
I mean, it's possible. I think that's possible. I just if that's all we need to do, then why do you? In other words, there's the Gemara. Rashi deviates from translating the lashon of the Gemara, right? That's pashat. All the Rishonim, certainly the Rambam, when he copies and pastes that from that line of the Gemara from Nascha, it's hadar. You're able to be chayzer, right? It's not Rashi for some. Now Rashi's highlighting something. But you're saying that
it's highlighting that you're
from. The Rambam says the shirach of the gasa is not kainan because the chiyuv as he does the zera shagazel to put it back to the original.
Saying you don't.
And Rashi, he's Rashi saying that when Rashi himself might need the dvar from because that's a Rashi and nafkaf about ilo.
Yeah.
Rashi and nafkaf about ilo tries to say Rashi says if you put a kogra in your house similar to Tavis Meirish,
yeah,
it's not called a it's called the shina ben yamilo. Tries to say that's a shina chazav yasa. Rashi, my whole Shirach HaZegrasa is only not Kona in Zela,
uh-huh, called
the Chivish. And then Rashi here would be saying, Im Yurtza, the Hainu, don't think that what that means is I have to actually do it.
Meaning if you ask. Okay, I hear. I hear very sure.
Just to do the other deal, the Tzvik the Dirk and Rashi, in the end of Ein of a Makra, Ribua, that is Rashi's reflection of why it's not a problem with Tiko Begibu with Neatma.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I don't think that you can. Sorry, go ahead.
The Rashi is just. You just clarify that.
Meaning, why it's shaykh to be restored? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, before we said that a person needs his bricks to be a specific size, you're saying a person doesn't need his coins to be a specific size.
So, I'm asking 100%. The only shaykh that I wonder is that it can zayin. I would very much like to see the Dvar Avram. I didn't see it, but what I think though is that what is shaykh, if you learn this revolutionary mahalach in Rashi, then what Rashi might be saying in the Hemshech is that why do we care if the Baal is Mag? I'm asking. It could be this just general state. Do people actually care? Is this considered to be reversed or not? But why do we care if a person is Machbit or not? I'm just saying it's possible.
You're suggesting that the person is a specific person. Right?
I know, it's the Baal. I'm asking. It doesn't read into the Lashon of Adam. That's for sure.
In other Machbit, there's a normal way of saying people aren't Machbit. The way you're learning the first line in Yerza was speaking about a certain person.
Right. I don't know that you have. No, there are two different Tiyukim and Echanami. I don't think you have to comment to the second part for the first part. It would be nice if it fit into the second part. But,
okay.
Okay.
What, excuse me. I'm thinking. Reheshiv is like Zaylok. So, what does it do? I stole something. This is, I never sort of. I stole something. I stole from you.
That's not
so
good.
The Torah says, Jesus Torah gave you another mitzvah. Reheshiv is like Zaylok. That you have to return. It may be the difference. I think you said it before. You said it before. The difference is. Your behavior is exhaled, literally. Basically. So you give it back. So you were able to remove the other. But there's a special thing. If you can't remove the other, you still have to recompense it.
So
there's a difference. So what the Torah tells behavior is exhaled. Return the exhaled. Stole a car, return it. You return it, you didn't take anything away from him. He had everything he had before.
Lavin, it's a class A.
But this is. You start, it was intimated right at the UAU.
Lava de ta classe?
Yeah. Right.
I think we'll talk about it, Be'ez Hashem, a little bit more, certainly when we get to.
Sorry.
No. Chas v'shalom. It would be better though, Rebbe, if there would be more people on this side of the table.
Okay, go on.
But I can understand the Rebbe. The leg space is certainly nicer on that side, though, I imagine. Yeah. Okay.
Good.
So, just at least a small nekuda. It's been talked about before. I'm certainly not gonna harp on it. But I think it brings out just a nekuda for how the kinyan might be dictated, how the mechanics for the kinyan, and that is just in terms of what exactly the makar for shinakana is by Gazlin and by Ganev. I mean, I'm certainly not going to exhaust it the way that people before have, but again, just a very curious ha'ara is that to begin with, if you were, and not that you can be medayik in a Gemara like you can in a Rambam, but Rosenzweig one time a few years ago was medayik in the Seder of Shulchan Aruch by the Shmuzan and Kibbut Avaim, by the yardside of Rebbe's mother, that you can maybe pedagogically or maybe just an asmachta of that you can be medayik a little bit, that if you would have to look for one place in Baba Kama where the makar for Shina Koina for a Gazlan is, you might have imagined that it's in the context of the Gemaras in the ninth parak that discuss Gazela and the Chiyuv Hashava and the Kinyanim and Shina Chozer B'Yasso, Shina Shena Chozer B'Yasso. You won't find it there. You'll find a makar that Shina B'Mkoma Omid for Rabbi Yochanan. You'll find a makar for Aresha Chalof Anacha that it's inhibited, but you won't find a makar for Shina Kaina. What you will find a makar, as we noted before, I'm just highlighting it, is the fact that you find in the context of Rav's Sugya, of Karen Kain Shaganov, in the topic in the seventh parak about Gneva. And which, of course, leads to the two directions of how much the interplay between Ganav and Gazlan. But I don't mean that so seriously. I mean that as an asmacht l'davar. So what exactly, though, is the makar for Shina Kaina? So mitzad echad, we know that Rashi at least understands that the makar for Shina Kaina by Gazlan is this makar v'heshav as gazel asher gazel. Rashi highlights at the beginning of the ninth parak. He refers to Rabba, and he understands that Rabba is referring to Shina Shena Chozer B'Yasso. The Rambam also does. The Rambam learns it that way as well, where he says, V'heshav as gazel asher gazel. That's Pashat the makar for Shina Shena Chozer B'Yasso. The Rambam himself, towards the end of the second parak of Hilchos Gazela, he's not Gairis Shina Chozer B'Yasso. For him, it doesn't rank at all. He just says, you need it. Shina Chozer B'Yasso doesn't work. For Tysus, though, as we know, Tysus is a little bit more complicated. And I guess you just have to develop it this way just to bring out the different pratim. For Tysus, we know that Shina Konen, for Shina Enochos Obiyaso, according to everybody, is from Esnan. We use from Haim Velo Shina Yehem. Everyone is on the same page as Beis Hillel. You can't mess with Beis Hillel. And the only Shaila is Shina Chos Obiyaso, which they derive from Rabbis Pasuk of Heshavas Gazil. And that's where you have debate among Namaraim. Do you say Shina Chos Obiyaso or not from that Pasuk, Rav Yochanan later, Rav Chizda, etc.? Well, what about Shina Konen by Ganev? So the obvious shaila is can you derive Shina Koina for Ganev from Gazlan? And the only reason that I at least want to point to it very quickly is just because I think that the Makar, as we've suggested before, the Makar for Shina Koina should perhaps dictate the way the mechanism of that Kenyan. And we had a number of possibilities of the mechanism of Shina Koina. So Mistama for Tysus, we developed at least, maybe Rav Ochanan might work for Tysus. But so... For starters, Rav Ochanan highlights in the beginning of his I shouldn't say his ha'aris, in the beginning of his ha'aris and of the Kovit Shiurim and his ha'aris on Merubah, so he highlights the fact that the Gemara goes out of its way to find a makar for Karkin and Agzelis by Gazlan and by Ganav. We need Pesukim for both. And the Yushalmi goes out of its way, the Yushalmi in Kedushin, the Yushalmi in Baba Kama, the Mechot and Mishpatim, go out of the way to present Rav Abba Bar Mamul, who has to find two makaris for Ein Shamin. For the concept that we say Ein Shamin Laganav Lolo Gazan, El Lini Zakin, how do you know that we say Ein Shamin Laganav? How do you know we say Ein Shamin Lagazan? We need two different psukim. Ein Shamin Lagazan is derived from Heshav Azakdela Asher Gazal, and Ein Shamin for Ganav is derived from V'chaim Shnayim Shalayim. So Rav Ruchanan understands from this is that clearly you see that you can't mix and match so much the makaris that we use for Ganav and for Gazlan. And so Mamela, Rav Ruchanan scrambles to find a makar that Shina Kaina is a thing when it comes to Ganav. And it's particularly curious because the first time that we actually introduced a makar for Shina Kaina is in the context of Ganav. And so Rav Ruchanan tries to figure out different malachim of what a potential makaris can be. For Tysvis, the makar might be obvious. In other words, for Tysvis could just easily say Esnan is the makar. So Essen would be the makar that you say Hamvelo Shani Yehem, that itself we had problems with. How can you use this concept universally for Kenanik Zela? Maybe it just tells you that Shinoi is on the radar in Halacha. But if you learn like Tosfos, so then that means that Shina kind of works, and that works universally, and that works by Ganav, and that works by Goslin. The only limitation, of course, would be is that would work for Shina Sheinu Chozor B'Yasa. That wouldn't work for Shina Chozor B'Yasa according to the Balei Tosfos. So that's why Rav Chanan suggests maybe what you'll have to say is you'll have to come into the pasuk of Chaim Shnayim Shalein. We know that the concept of Ein Shaman, the Gemara and Tzadi Dalit says that Ein Shaman is a function of Shina Kaina. That you say that if the Gazan is Kaina Mamela, we say Ein Shaman. Ein Shaman is a standard Nezikin topic. The Balei Tosfos try to figure out why is it that if Gazlan made its way into Rav Chiya's list of 24 Nezikin, so that Avos Nezikin, why doesn't this rank also for this? But Lamaisa, Ein Shaman is a function of Shina Kana. Mamela, so what's the Makar for Ein Shaman by Ganav? The Makar is Chaim Shnayim Shalem. So if that's the Makar for Ganav, for Ein Shaman, so then by extension, would apply perhaps to all forms of Shina by Ganav as well. That's one possibility. For the Rambam, the Griz takes that Yerushalmi Kemat Lehepech from Rav Chanan, at least as far as I understand it. The Griz, who's really embellishing on Rav Chaim, that we'll Bez Hashem B'Leonard discuss in a minute, distinguishes between Ein Shaman and other things. And what he basically says is that Ein Shaman is a function of the Nezikin component of Gazlan and Ganev, and Mameila, you need two different Pesukim for that. But Shina Kaina is a very Mistavritic idea. And Mameila, once I have a Makar for Kinyan Gzela, so then of course that should apply to everybody. The Griz is Lushan. He quotes the Yerushalmi, and he says, "Mavur gam kein had the matzah chayushami trei kroy lagan v'lagazlin, delin chiyuv aganiv v'gazlin trei milininhu." For chiyuvim, there are two different things, and mameli need two different pesukim. The tarach l'kol achad kram miyuchad the chiyuv v'kein shakal zadavka. Avul im haya zed din bekinyana de gazela lachar tarachin lamali trei kroy lagan v'lagazlin. Tarvayu ganiv v'gazlin chan milsininhu linin kol kinyana gazela v'lamali kroy l'kol achad b'fnei atzma. So That's how the Griz gets out of the issue. Rav Chanan suggests a similar idea within Esnan. He says maybe you'll say that Esnan, it's this general idea, and even though in general we need two psukim for everything for Ganav and Gazan, maybe you could say a similar idea from the pasuk of Esnan. Just as Ariel noted, the issue, perhaps, just the reason I guess becomes striking is that the Rambam deliberately quotes a pasuk in the context of Gzela when he quotes a makar for Shina Kona, but he doesn't quote a makar for Geneva. And Ken Zion, that's where the Griz is going, that's where Rav Chanan is going, but I'm certainly not going to shteltar on that. Okay. That's just in terms of the makar. And so Mamela, if you learn, the only nakuda I think that emerges is that if you learn the makar for Shina Kona is from Chaim Shnayim Shalem, then Shina Kaina is perhaps working within a totally different realm. That the Torah that we said so far is all within the context of a Heshavas Gazel Asher Gazel, but neutralizing Chiyuvei Hashava. Maybe you grab from the pasuk of Chiyuvei Hashava, maybe you don't grab from Chiyuvei Hashava. I don't know. But if the default is like what the Griz says, so then you avoid a lot of problems. Okay. The last.
When I steal something from you, I steal two things. I steal what I stole. I stole your suit. I stole also the value of your suit. That's the shot. Two things. I stole a car. I would say the car wasn't the suit, but I stole a car. The car's worth $5,000. So if that can be back to the car, it should be $5,000 by another car. That would be also, I can interpret that the Heshivas I said. Or I can turn, no, I have to return back what he gave me, what I stole from him, the direct thing what I stole. And when you have that not to me, then you
know,
you've opened the door.
We're heading that way, but Yashakach, that Rebbe's certainly within the Brisker school of thought, I think.
I don't know, like the Brisker school of thought. Thank you very much.
It's not like a bad thing, is it?
Father and his grandfather would have to say about that.
Okay. Just the last nakuda that I wanted to bring out is in terms of Shini Hashem. Shini Hashem, as Rosenzweig noted, is very complicated, and there are a lot of moving parts, and certainly once you do Tosfos and Sukkah, and the Truma Sakri, and there are all these funny things. I'm not sure I can make heads and tails of it, but there is a Nakuda that I want to bring up from Shinei Hashem. The first idea is that the first time that we encounter Shinei Hashem, at least in the ninth parak, is when it's coupled together with the Shina Maisa. And the Baalei Tosfos, they're the ones who introduced it, as we noted before. The Baalei Tosfos, when they talk about Eitzim Vasan, Kelim Buchni, so the Baalei Tosfos highlight this idea that they say, Davka Shipa Ki Hai Shanasa Bekach Buchni Moel, Techoshev Shina Maisa, Vechena Avdi Nesarim, Nami Mahani, Avo Shipa She'en Meshtan Shemo, Bekach Lo Mahani. So Shina Maisa is coupled together with Shina Hashem is coupled together with Shina Maisa, and the question is just what role does it play exactly? So the Baalei Tosfos, they say the same Nakuda in Sukkah Daf Lamed Amud Beis. They have a line over there where they're suggesting that why is it that when you snip off hadassim from the ground, why isn't that considered a Shina Maisa? And what they suggest is that they say Mashenixis Menam Chuber Lo Chashiv Shina Maisa. And the question is that do you say that Shini Hashem is integral to the Kenyan, to the Maisa Kenyan, or do you say that it's not necessarily integral to the Maisa Kenyan? I'll explain to you what I mean. Mitzad Echad, you might have said that Shini Hashem is integral to the Maisa Kenyan, very positive, because if the idea behind Shinoi is that it's a Panu Chadashos Balakan, it's a neutralization of Chiyav HaShava, you've divorced it from its past, so then if it still retains this identity, so you may have dented it up a little bit, but it still is not, it's not divorced from its past. So maybe you need Shinei Hashem just for that, because it's not considered totally divorced from its past if it retains its identity. Mitzad Sheni, you might have said that Shinei Hashem is really just an indicator. It's a barometer for how significant of a Shina Maisa, that the main player is Shina Maisa. And Shina Maisa is what affects the Kinyan, and that's what engenders the Kinyan. So what's the role of Shina Hashem? Shina Hashem is a barometer. And how significant of Shina Maisa that you did? So you can rest assured that you did a significant Shina Maisa if this is not called the same thing that it once was called before. Now, Rav Chanan says it like that. Rav Chanan, I think, assumes like that, that Shina Hashem is not necessarily integral to the Kinyan. Shini Hashem is a barometer. It's an indicator for the extent of the Shina Maisa that you did. The Rav Chanan is in Kuf Kof. He's questioning the Ketzos. He quotes the Ketzos' Kasha about Shinoi in the context of Chametz, and he says, why should that make a difference? If it originally was called Lechem, now it's called Lechem. Anyway, what Rav Chanan says is, V'ha d'lo mahani, b'lo nishtana shemo hu, mishum d'zem mochiach, d'lo havishina gomer. D'ilu ha yashina gomer, ha yimishtana shemo. So you might have thought that if something is morphed into something else and it's changed its identity, then you know you've done successful Shinei Hashem. So Shina Maisa. So says Rav Chanan, that's not true. Shinei Hashem is a very nice indicator, but that doesn't mean that it's essential to establish that you've done a Shina Maisa. It could very well be that you've done a Shina Maisa even without the Shinei Hashem. And that idea, I think, might be very helpful for Tosfos. Tosfos on Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis says that idea that we said before, the same idea that they say in Sukkah, the same thing that they say over here, that Shinei Maisa, the lashon that they use is Avol Shibah She'en Meshtana Shemo B'Kach Lo Mahani, that you need a Shinei Hashem, and that seems to be what's an indicator for Shinei Maisa. Is it necessary? Is it essential? So the Baalei Tosfos on Tzadi Vav, in the other context of Shinoi, which they drew from in order to establish their point for Ravashi, the Baalei Tosfos say, for the case of Gazel Dikla V'Katle, so the obvious question is that if I tell you if you chop down my tree and transplant it in your backyard, that's not called a Shina Maisa. So, fact the Baalei Tosfos, what do you mean? If you kill an animal, that's a Shina Maisa. A cow is still a cow, if it's a dead or if it's alive. So, the Baalei Tosfos say, no, Hasam have a Shinoi de Minker Tzvei. So what do they mean that it's a Shina that's Nikar? I thought you need a Shina Hashem. If you learn, like Rav Chanan's Yisayid, then Ken Zayin, that works very fine. In other words, Shina Hashem isn't essential to a Maisa Kinyan. Shina Hashem is an indicator. Does that mean that it's impossible to have a significant and sufficient Shina Maisa, Shina Kone, in order to be Kone without the Shina Hashem? No, it doesn't mean that. The problem with this is obviously, as Rav Baruch Frankel of Nagos points out, the problem with this is in Tosfos and Ayin Aleph, and I don't really know what to do with that Tosfos. But I think that Efshar to learn that way. For the Rambam, I'm not sure how to take. it's I think it's pretty clear how the Magen Mishnah and Rav Chaim understood the Rambam. The Rambam Metchila in Hilchas Gazel in the second parak, when they first introduced these Shinim Maises that we discuss on Sadi Gimel and on Sadi Vav, the Rambam says Avol Gozel Eitzim V'Shipan UKetzatzon, which sounds just like a Shinim Maisa. O Chafer Behen V'Asan Kelim. Not sure how to if, where that goes back on. O Shagozel Tzemer Utzivao, or if you dye wool, which presumably there isn't a change in name. O nefatso v'libno, or if you did niputz or libun or en libun. O shagazel tavoy v'aso begadim. O shagazel all these things. The Rambam says panim chadashos balakan. The Rambam doesn't mention the idea of shini Hashem. The Rambam just says that these are shini maisas. Hareza shini biados is lashon. Now when he does introduce the concept of shini Hashem in Yudalid, his lashon is gazel koros gedolos v'son ketanos lokana ketatzon luchos adshin nishtanes shemam. So the Rambam is very capable of expressing Shini Hashem when he wants to. And he says it that way. And Memela, when you do that, Gazal Lula, Vehifrit, Olav, Kana Ha'olim, Gazal Olim, the Asan Chufya, Kana, Gazal Tlev, Nasa Ayla, Egel, Nasa Shar, Reza Shina Biyado, Kano. So I'm not sure. I would have said Mitchila had I not seen the Magen Mishnah that it could be that the Rambam might hold of that, that it's possible to have a Shini Maisa without necessarily having a Shini Hashem. It sounds like that perhaps in Halacha Yubayz. And not necessarily they need a Shin Hashem. Kiyadua, the Rambam, along with Rav Chaim, at least I'm not sure that they understand it that way. Where to start? Well, let's start like this. The Rambam says, if you steal somebody's watch, if a person steals somebody's watch, and you break it, so you can't just give it back to them and pay the difference. We say ain't shaman. Rather, you have to basically buy them a new watch. You have to pay for a new watch. Let's say the Balaam want it. So then the Rambam says, okay, so then the Balaam have the option. They're entitled to take it back. So the question is, obviously, as the Magen Mishnah asks, because I don't understand. If you broke an item, that means that you did a shinoi. If you did a shinoi, that means that you were kaina. If you were kaina the cheftza, then number one, the Balaam shouldn't have any right to demand their chefza back. So Mela, this is what compels the Magen Mishnah to say, no, that's not true. Clearly, the Rambam is talking about a case where there's no Shini Hashem. And if there's no Shini...
He doesn't say Shini Hashem. He says,
who?
The Magen Mishnah.
Yeah.
He's not saying that a true Shinoi Maisa needs to be a Shini Hashem.
In this case, it's a
shvira of a kli is in the negative direction. When you go in the negative direction, so a barometer of whether or not you've truly
100%. We're heading in that direction. 100%. No. But yeshakai. So the Rambam says this point that we say in shaman basically if you break somebody's item, then we say in shaman. Frek the Magen Mishnah, and we say that the Balaam still have a right to it somehow. So frek the Magen Mishnah, how does the Balaam still have a right? I thought that shina kona, so must be that shmola. Fine. So ki yadua, Rav Chaim has a couple of questions on that. Not everybody agrees to the Magen Mishnah's analysis of that Rambam. The Gra is Beferish against it. He doesn't like that. The Chazon Ish also doesn't like it, but we might not discuss that today.
Discuss it?
Yeah, maybe not.
People are going to get the impression that because of me you're not...
No, Chas V'Shem, I was just looking at Rebbe. But
I have strong views on the Chazon Ish.
Not as, just on him as a person.
Right. No, yeah. But very positive ones. Yeah, go ahead.
But anyway, Rav Chaim basically asks, I think you can basically boil it down to two questions. He has two major assumptions. Rav Chaim's major assumption, number one, is that we learn from the Gemara that Hareshul Chalofenacha is a function of Shina Kaina. And it seems Mavar in the Gemara, because when the Gemara tries to prove for Rav Meir that Rav Meir holds Shina Kaina, the Gemara says, does Rav Meir hold Shina Kaina on Tzadi Dalad? So the Gemara, what is it, Tzadi Dalad? I think it's Tzadi Hey. So the Gemara says, what's the Makar Shina Kaina? So the Gemara draws from the Mishnah where Rav Meir says, for Avadim or Behema Shezkina, so we say that Rav Meir would tell you that in that case, you can't say Hareshul Chalofenacha, why not? Must be he holds Shina Kaina. So you see that Hareisha Chalofenecha is a function of Shina Kaina. If you say Shina Kaina, then you can't say, if there was a kinin, I should say it like this, if there's a kinin, Aide Shinoi, then your ability to say Hareisha Chalofenecha has been inhibited. So it seems like they're opposite sides of the coin. Either you're kana adei shinoi. This is at least the first the hanach of Rav Chaim. That it seems that ha'reisha chalafanacha is the flip side of shinakona. If you are kana adei shinoi, then you can't say reisha chalafanacha. If you are not kana adei shinoi, then you can't say reisha chalafanacha. And the second point that he says is with respect to inshaman. He says inshaman is also a function of shinakona. If you say shinakona, then you can't say inshaman. And so Mimela, what he says is that. So why is it that in this case, if you weren't kind of the item, then number one, you should be able to say Arishach Alefanecha, and number two, you should be able to say Shaman. That's his kasha. So what Rav Chaim basically does is he has to dispel those two hanachas. And what Rav Chaim explains is that Arishach Alefanecha can be inhibited in one of two ways, either because of Kinyan or because of Shinoi. And the way that he proves that is that number one, from the Gemara of Chavetz Arba Lava Pesach, the Gemara tries to prove from Chavetz Arba Lava Pesach that Yish, you'll have to say, is Kani. So the Gemara says, no, that's not true, you didn't want to be Kani. But the question is, so how do you see that Yish is Kani? Because you can't say, you can still say Arishach Alefanecha. So Rav Chaim says, but there was no Shinoi. So must be that Kinyan Alein is something that inhibits the ability to say Arishach Alefanecha. Number two is that you see that Arishach Alefanecha is also inhibited by a Shinoi that occurs. How do you see it? From the Gemara, the discussion between Rav Chanina between Rav Allah and Rav Chanina. Rav Allah walks in and he says, "Gan of Klavan Asa Ailei, Klavan Asa Shor, Asa Shinoi B'Yaruk." No, so Tavach Mocher Shlo Tavach Shlo Mocher. So Rav Chanina says back, "How can you say that? That's connected to Brisa. The Brisa says that you do pay Dalav Vehei." So the question is, okay, but Lamaisa, there's a Mishnah connected Rav Chanina's school of thought. So how is Rav Chanina going to understand? So clearly Rav Chanina must understand that there is no Kinyan, but there's a Shinoi. And when there's Shinoi Alein is something that can inhibit your ability to say Arishach Alefanecha. That's how Rav Chaim proves it. So Mamela, what Rav Chaim develops is the idea is that if I tell you that Arishach Alefanecha is not interconnected with Shinakaina, then that means that Shinoi alone can be something that impacts Arishach Alefanecha, and Kinyan alone is something that can impact Arishach Alefanecha. And what he explains is that when the pasuk says Veheshev Zegzeil Shurkas Al, this is what we noted before for Shina Kona, is that Shina Kona doesn't mean, when the Gemara says for a mayor, that if you hold Shina Kona, then how is it that you can say, why is it that you can't say Arishach Alefanecha, that it seems to be that Arishach Alefanecha goes hand in hand with Shina Kona. So what Rav Chaim explains is that Shina Kona doesn't mean that you hold Shina Kona. Shina Kona is an outlook, it's a perspective. Does Shina have impact? As opposed to the other tzad that we said that Kein Shagazal, it doesn't have to be Kein Shagazal in order for you to be able to return it. So Memela, what Rav Chaim explains, is that in order to inhibit Harishach Alefanecha, you don't need the kind of Shino that would take to engender a Kinyan. The only kind of Shino that you need to inhibit Harishach Alefanecha is any kind of change, a basic change that can alter the Schefza, such that it's not the way that it was before, whatever getter that would be. And Memela, you can inhibit Harishach Alefanecha. Mashainkin, in order to engender a Kinyan, you need a Shinoi that basically transforms the item. How are you magder if you transform the item? So the shame is a good way of determining that. So just to bring out the point, just to bring out the point that Ariel alluded to before, is that, so what's the role of shame according to Rav Chaim within the Rambam? Do you have to say that shame is a barometer per se? Shame is certainly a barometer. Is it essential to the ma'aser kinyan? I don't know. It's not clear. Certainly within this halacha, Shinei Hashem does play an integral role, perhaps because, as Ariel said before, it's in going in the opposite direction, but it's not clear. Now, just one more nakuda is that the Griz takes Rav Chaim one step further. The Griz uses the Rambam and Magen Mishnah in order to shed light on Taisvus's kasha and sukkah. Taisvus asks the kasha, and the question, I don't know if they're the same value, Taisvus, but it's the same. The kasha seems to be a lot stronger in Baba Kama than it is in sukkah, where Taisvus basically asks this, the question we said before, is that, let me see if I can find the lashon. I have it here somewhere. Uh-oh. Okay. I have Mordechai's Chabura. Okay, but anyway, so Taisus is Kasha. What they ask is that when I snip that Hadassim out of the ground, why isn't that a Shinoi? So we said before that the one question was, do you consider that a Shinoi? So we said there's no Shinoi Hashem. So the big question, though, is that the Dekel case we know is a case where there's a Shinoi. There's no Shinoi Hashem, and that's not considered a Shinoi Maisa. But what about when you're Pasuk L'chiyusa? if you're pasuk lechiyusa, we find that this is lo gar from a case of behemah v'hiskina. So how is it that behemah v'hiskina is a case where that could be something that inhibits your ability to say harei shechol lefanecha? But mitzad sheni, I tell you that if you snip hadasim out of the ground, where you're severing this from the ground and depriving it of its source of life, so that also, that's not considered a shina through which to be kind of. So the Baalei Tosfos Baib Shver. And it works very nicely for why the Baalei Tosfos Baib Shver, because of their perspective on Shina Kaina. That Shina Kaina is in fact the opposite side of Haresh Chol Lefanecha, and so it's either Haresh Chol Lefanecha or Shina Kaina. So they Baib Shver. But if you learn like this Rambam, well, the Gris says this before he introduces Rav Chaim, but if you learn like this Rambam with the Magen Mishnah, with the Anacha, that there's two things. In order to inhibit the ability to say Haresh Chol Lefanecha, you need a Shinoi, any kind of Shinoi. You don't need a Shinoi to couple together with a Shinoi Hashem. You just need a Shinoi. So then, yeah, that's all it takes. In order to make a Shina Kaina, through which these Hadassim can become Lechem, so then you need a Shina Kaina. You need a bona fide Shina Kaina, where there's a transformation. If there's no transformation, which you can use Shina Hashem as a barometer, so then and Echanami, that's why in the Gemara over there, that's not considered a Shina. So just one more point that it brings out, which Rav Harlap alluded to a couple times before, the idea that Jason also discussed Betaris the Rambam in Rav Chaim also, later, but the Gris says this, that the perspective, perhaps, within Kein Shagazal, is that there's two components. For every gezela that you do, gezela is really, we say that hezek and gezela are both forms of suffering somebody a loss. The difference is the way that you suffer the person a loss. So gezela, you deprive them of their chayfetz by taking it, and for hezek, you deprive them of their chayfetz by damaging it. So what's the fundamental difference? So as Rav Chaim, as Jason noted in his Chabura, which the Griz develops very beautifully over here, is that for gezela, because you have these two components, mamele, you'll expect them to have two different functions. In other words, harei shechol lefanecha is a function of compensating for the hezek that you did. So if harei shechol lefanecha is a function of compensating for the hezek that you did, the question is, can you satisfy the chiyuv, the tashlumen that you're expected to satisfy by returning this chefza? Can you satisfy the chiyuv tashlumen of this item by returning? And the answer is, so harei shechol lefanecha's standard for inhibiting that ability to return this chefza and satisfying your chiyuv of harei shechol lefanecha, that's obviously going to be lower in terms of shinuyim. Masha Enkein, in order to be kind of chefza, using shinoi, that has nothing to do with hezek, that has to do with kinyan gzeila. In order to be kone of the chetza, so you're going to need a higher standard shinoi. And in order to have that higher standard shinoi, so you need a shinoi that's transformative. And this is memeil pshat within the Rambam. Not everybody agrees to it. The Chazon Ish has a very beautiful idea where he says that Kein Shagazal is an idea behind being Matthias, the das of the nigzal, and that's why the balance will have a right to the chetza. That's why they can be neutral it. They can demand it back, because by demanding it back, they're being megala that you can satisfy that it's still kein shagazal, or that you can satisfy veishav ezekazel shagazal somehow. And anyway, not to go into it, but Varebi wanted me to point out the Chazon Ish, and so that's what he says. But this all works within the Rambam's understanding. As was noted, I think Ari spoke about it within Rashi Shita, that there's a different perspective of how to understand Rashi. When Rashi says that you need a Shina B'yadayim, so the big kasha that everybody asks on Rashi is that, what do you mean, Shina B'yadayim? There are plenty of Mishnayos throughout the 9th Perek and throughout the 7th Perek that discuss passive Shinuyim. So the answer is, for Rashi, within Rashi's world, where Shina kind of works, but Tar is demonstrating a bilus, so there, that's in order to be kind of. In order to inhibit the ability to say, Reisha Cholavarecha, you don't need to be Shina kind of. You don't need a Kinyan idea of Shina, that kind of a Shina. You need it to be different. You need it to be, to have your Reisha Cholavarecha inhibited. In order to do that, the standard is lowered. Okay. I think.
Does that work out in the Rashi's?
Something. But my chavrus is going to be upset because it's 3:20 already.
Yeah,
and
I mean, you they all work out perfectly. You could solve the old problem of Rashi, but
the Evan Ezel certainly.
To your chavrus is so great that leave that part.
The Evan Ezel certainly learns pshat like that in Rashi. That's for sure. The Evan Ezel, he lines up Rashi in the Rambam. I'm not sure that you can line them up. I think that certainly once Rav Chaim is done with it.
All the cases are of Shinui.
Meaning the behemoth is Kina.
Not cases of Shinui Kona? the case of Rashi.
I mean, you're already saying that within Rav Chaim. You don't have to say it within Rashi. The way that the Gris spells
you're making the chiluk between passive and active shinuyim for
yeah.
this point.
Meaning for Rashi,
it makes a lot of sense. I'm just saying, is it really true that all cases of passive shinui are not cases of shinui in the case of Rashi?
I mean, they don't have to be, but it works if they are.
Well, I'm not saying they're not.
But just whatever you say for that, then for in Rav Chaim's world, you're just going to say it, Petaris. It was a transformative not. And you
no,
make
no,
it,
I understand, but
yeah.
the stira problem in Rashi that everybody is disturbed by is not how transformative was the shinoi.
Right, it's a different.
It's the activity and the passivity.
Right.
You're suggesting now that based on the chiluk between a racial kofa and a shinoi kona, that Rashi only needs shinoi kona to demonstrate, the Rashi only needs the activity to demonstrate to create the shinoi kona.
Right.
So what you're suggesting is that the evidence would work that all
yes.
the cases in those in Perek Tes and Perek Zion and so on are all that wherever we have a passive shinui,
yeah.
those are cases just of Horeisha Chalafanecha, they're really not cases of shinui.
Right.
Right.
And right, so that's what we got to with Aryeh's Chabura. That's why I'm shying away from it. I think
that's the one that comes to mind.
The gun of
three Rashi according to the Shinoi, that's not.
But
so what are you going to do about Vlados?
Vlados is a big problem. The Ramban is a big problem. Yeah,
no, we know the problem.
I'm shying away from it because that was Aryeh's Chabura, and I'm not going to make. I was supposed to make wrinkles and not ruffles.
I said they had to at least also be wrinkled. I never said it shouldn't be ruffles.
Not the get shuckering? What was it?
I didn't say.
No, but
should ruffle.
Yeah.
I just said you must at least have wrinkles. Which you do. Okay, very good. So, Yeshikah. Who's next week? Yeah?
Yeah.